I'm Brian McCreath, backstage at Symphony Hall with Christian Tetzlaff, the violin soloist visiting the Boston Symphony Orchestra this week, and with a little bit of Shostakovich in our ears as we speak. Thank you for taking some time, Christian.
Oh, my pleasure. Hi.
Well, a few years ago, there was an article written about you by Jeremy Eichler, whom we know well here in Boston. He's the critic for The Globe. And he described your way of playing as disappearing into the sound world you create on the stage. And what he was getting at, I think, was the way that you really try to inhabit what the composer of any particular piece is getting at, what it is they're trying to communicate. And my question with the Beethoven Violin Concerto is, how do you get past the mythology and the image, the sort of picture of Beethoven we all sort of carry with us, to get at the essence of what he's trying to do in the Violin Concerto?
Well, I find that quite simple. The image maybe we carry in our sound history has been for a while been shaped by people like Herbert von Karajan, has been shaped by performances from the 50s and 60s, which, and 70s, unfortunately, carrying into the 80s and 90s and still alive, of this kind of classical music of being momentous and grandiose and superhuman, Beethoven as a superhuman person who would solve the problems of the world through music. I've never encountered too much of that, and I luckily grew up in a time where you already could hear that this could also be about human attitudes and real persons. And if we read the story of Beethoven's life, these elements of superhuman are really not very important. He came from a quite horrible background, with a drinking father, and being the head of the family, made head of the family when he was 13. Himself struggling with a strong alcohol habit his whole life. If you look at the delivery notes they make to how many bottles of wine every week were shipped into his place, you would feel pity for him. Then his relationless life, some story of some far away love, yes, with letters of deep love, but deep love, I think, has to stand the trial of being together somehow to be something really reliable and strong. Then taking care of his nephew, who then committed suicide and gave as a reason at the police the habits of raising him of his uncle Ludwig. So how do we come up to this picture of somebody who has solved the problems of the world? No, the opposite is what's making him a fantastic musician, that he's able to speak the yearning of his soul and all the shortcomings and the wishes upon himself and people around him to come into music and to be outspoken, but not in their I'm stronger than everybody and solving every problem. No, but by living through the moments, talking about it and trying to find solutions, if only in his art, for all of us to understand. And if we come to the Violin Concerto, unfortunately this tradition of the performance, if you look at some performances where there is a violin king standing 2 yards or 3 yards in front of an orchestra who are willing supporters, slaves or supporters, and pretending that he is also untouchable and plays immaculately and controlled, this also is with us quite a bit. It is very easy not to go that way. One look at the score, which is something that seems to happen not so often in violin lessons, one look at the score will tell you the exact opposite of the story. It's a movement of where we play a lot of piano, pianissimo, or fortissimo. There is very little zone of human comfort in this movement. It is shyly talking about beauty or having real tantrums. Then in the development section, we come actually to a moment of death where we feel reminded of a heartbeat going through this. When this suddenly stops after going deeper and deeper into a hardest of harmonies, this is not playable with a good technique. Yeah, this is not played by saying, and now there comes a place which is, seems to be a bow exercise for many years of how well one can do a thing like that, which for me is the abyss of searching and being lost in the music. Oh, my sentences are too long, but what I'm trying to say already, if you look at the introduction, pianissimo, fortissimo, da-da-dum, bum-bum, with angry harmonies and accents, which also sometimes is played as if it's, wow, this is loud now. It's not loud, it is violent, it's unpleasant, and there is beautiful moments, and they will shine more than ever if the surrounding also allows for his cravings and his anxieties and anger. Anger was something everybody who has ever met Beethoven in real life will talk about, how easily he would explode and lose himself. So these, why is it important to play truthful music? Because I think the moment we sit in a room and we hear that people are actually searching, struggling, trying to do right, trying to find beauty, then we can identify with our own life. And not if somebody stands there and sees, see, I'm immaculate, irreproachable, and the composer is God.
That is such a fascinating answer that it almost makes my next question maybe irrelevant, or at least already answered. I've often wondered for soloists who kind of come in the middle of a program, how much the other pieces on a particular program might or might not bring you to a new perspective on the piece that you're playing. And so you're playing between two pieces by Shostakovich, which has its own relationship to pain and truth and honesty and humanness. Do you feel like anything about your playing of the Beethoven is affected by the Shostakovich?
I'm not sitting in the audience for the first piece, but of course the audience is changed by the Passacaglia of Lady Macbeth in Minsk, which is a terrifying piece. So the start of the timpani in the Beethoven concerto will have a different resonance on an audience that when they have heard a Rossini overture, this will make a different impact. But we are already in a mode where we expect something deep and sometimes dark to emanate from music.
Yeah.
So it could be a fascinating background for the violin concerto.
That's what I mean, that your previous answer just kind of puts all that in context anyway, but thank you for that.
And I stressed now the tantrums and the darkness in general for Beethoven, and maybe in general this piece speaks of a serenity and of a strength and beauty that is uncommon, but only makes sense in seeing what it has overcome. So the other elements have to be strongly present and overcome. And then there's, of course, the fascinating Shlomo, who invented a totally new form of stating four times a full melody, which doesn't make sense in classical proportion whatsoever. It's no form ABA or anything, or a variation form. It's not recognizable. It is, for that reason, I try to find why is it so different from the other movement. And then the very simple answer comes to me. Those four times are because it is an opera scene. First time it's played with Sordini in pianissimo, then clarinet, piano, then the bassoon, and then the full strings in forte, the same setting as in the very beginning. So it's something that's coming closer and closer. So that makes it an operatic effect, maybe of a pilgrimage or something like that, coming closer. And then, only then, the violinist starts speaking almost like a priest alone to the audience, meaning that everything before, when I play, I'm some kind of nature sound or some comment, but certainly not a violin soloist. Everything else is happening in this procession that comes closer and closer. So again, the temptation to play convincingly and beautiful can be a downfall, especially also for this movement.
Wow. As you grew up, you had a father who was a Lutheran minister. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like your job is similar to his in any way?
Yeah, but I prefer mine quite a bit because I feel the same sense of to make us maybe feel our souls and make us feel our sense of communion and being together and being even more related than we usually think when we meet each other on the street, that we are made from the same stuff, but without any limiting experiences. Everybody in the audience may have his story about what he's hearing. And in any organized religion, there is many things that are maybe put upon you, where you, after a while, maybe start believing it, or you make it just part of your thinking. But it's very different to only use your own history of life to make up the stories that go with the music you hear. So I prefer it.
You have recorded the solo works of Bach twice, and I've wondered, listening to them both, what drove your decision to do that a second time? Did you feel that something was missing, or you were a different person when you wanted to record the second set of the solos and partitas, or the sonatas and partitas, I should say?
Well, after the first recording, I started playing them more often, and before the first recording, I'd rarely played them. So the sense of freedom and owning the music grows, of course, with that. So my wish for, and I think that's exactly what I'm going to do in 1.5 years, just to do it again, because the last one is now 12 years ago, and since then I really have played it a lot, and I've become a very free person, which will help them to make speak better, I think, I hope.
And help me understand how you see Bach in relation to other music. Is it completely set apart as something remarkable all of its own? Is it more foundational, that what you find in Bach you find everywhere else in different forms? Is it help me to understand how Bach plays into your life as a musician, and especially those solo pieces.
Time in the time frame, probably we would call him the bassist, because he is the first composer who was really influential on almost every composer after him. If you listen to Beethoven talking about him, you will see that at the end of his life, Bach was the most important composer for him. His 10th symphony was supposed to be about B.A.C.H., we find in his Skizze book. Then the last, the trios of the famous late quartets had B.A.C.H. as the main motive in different disguises. And I think the connection between the two of them is that the violent expression of the music of Bach in the cantatas and in the passions, and for me also in the other pieces that are not word related but which I feel about in the same way, at the same time coordinated with this wish or with ability to be on top of the material, that's something that was totally appealing to Beethoven, who also, and also the ability to write something very simple, very emotionally grasping, that was almost the biggest talent of Bach. Yes, a very cool fugue he could write, but then to write the melody of the air, or some melody of the violin solos, where your heart melts right away just by the melodic invention and by simplicity. Also some piano pieces where children say, again and again, this is so beautiful when I go into schools. The direct reaction, something that's Beethoven also aiming for in the sense of last movement of the Ninth Symphony or Choral Fantasy or some movements of his solo concerto where he says, I'm one of you and I want to speak everybody's language. I think they both have that. But so Bach, in that sense, the total emotional directness of his music, that's what's appealing to me. And I think that's also compared to contemporaries like Vivaldi or Handel, makes him, in my opinion, such a much more influential person, because he dared to be also so, he goes into regions of, again, in the passions, this music sometimes is so expressionistic and desperate and beautiful. So he puts the blue paws for the centuries to come in this, that music can say almost anything.
Yeah. Christian Tetzlaff, thank you for taking a few minutes to talk with me.
You're welcome. My pleasure.